It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Biden's ultimatum.
This is something that's going to raise a lot of eyebrows as well as red flags.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. President Biden telling reporters in Japan today, we will come to Taiwan's aid should China invade.
That's the commitment we made.
The president says China's flirting with danger. The U.S. does not have diplomatic ties with Taipei and still maintains a one-China policy. Griff Jenkins of Fox News.
This certainly has upped the stakes. We are getting word on the wires, the Chinese officials starting to respond to it. They're not happy, and this is going to be a big walk back.
Correspondent Stephen Portnoy is traveling with the president overseas.
It's the third time the president has vowed to defend Taiwan from Chinese aggression. And as before, his aides immediately tried to clarify his remarks, saying longstanding U.S. policy hasn't changed, that America sells arms to Taiwan to help it defend itself.
Florida Congressman and former Army Green Beret Michael Waltz.
I welcome the president's strong language right on China's doorstep, but I hope the White House doesn't come around and try to clean it up. It sounds like they already are.
Waltz says the Biden administration has not learned the lessons from Russia's war on Ukraine.
We can't wait until Taipei, the capital of Taiwan, is leveled, much like Mariupol is now, to then have a tough response. We need that tough talk up front, and I hope his staff doesn't try to come around and muddy the water.
The president in Tokyo today, the final leg of his six-day Asian excursion, where he announced a new economic alliance with a dozen Indo-Pacific countries. That trade deal, however, does not include Taiwan. Special delivery. The first emergency shipment of baby formula from overseas has just arrived here in the States.
Now at least we can breathe a little bit.
Correspondent Jolene Kent.
So many parents were watching that first Operation Fly Formula flight land here in Indianapolis, and it was a sigh of relief. So much formula, hypoallergenic formula that is so badly needed.
Still, conservative commentator Steve Hilton says most parents are not eligible for this first batch of emergency formula, and the Biden White House is a day late and a dollar short.
The Biden regime's response, they tell us, was working diligently for months, and this is the result. Panic and despair for millions of families. You might even say separating babies from their food. What could be more inhumane?
78,000 pounds of Nestle infant formula arrived Sunday on an Air Force C-17 cargo plane from overseas. More flights are expected in the coming days. Monkeypox mystery. More possible cases of the rare virus being investigated in this country.
Kind of the unique issue with this is that it starts creating lesions and pustules very much like you might see with smallpox. And in reality, it's a cousin genetically to smallpox. It's just not as deadly.
Monkeypox is believed to have showed up in Florida and New York City after being confirmed in a man in Massachusetts who'd recently been to Canada. Still, says Dr. William Schaffner, this is not the next COVID-19.
And I think, although there'll be a few more cases discovered, I think public health will be able to contain this epidemic rather quickly, within the next week or so. That's my anticipation.
The virus is fatal about 10% of the time. There are nearly 100 cases worldwide. Officials have traced this particular strain of monkeypox to risky behavior at raves in Belgium and Spain. Despite record inflation and continued supply chain problems, the president is confident the U.S. can avoid a recession. Here's what he told reporters in Tokyo today.
And when it comes to the gas prices, we're going through an incredible transition that is taking place that, God willing, when it's over, will be stronger and the world will be stronger and less reliant on fossil fuels when this is over. This is going to be a haul. This is going to take some time.
The White House blames COVID, Vladimir Putin, and big oil for the pain at the pump. Gas prices nationwide reached another record high today.
I still got to live and work, so, I mean, it is what it is, and we just kind of grunt and go on with our lives.
In Pennsylvania, it's averaging $4.78 a gallon. In New York, 491. The White House appealing a judge's decision to delay the rollback of Title 42. That rollback was set to take effect today. Kentucky Congressman James Comer.
The Biden border policy is to simply have an open border, to allow anyone into the United States who wants to come into the United States. And Title 42 is the only tool in the toolbox that our Border Patrol agents have.
Title 42 is a pandemic-related deportation policy enacted by the Trump administration. It essentially closed the U.S. asylum system at the Mexico border for public health reasons. Russia's invasion of Ukraine is grinding into its fourth month now, with Ukraine ruling out any ceasefire that would force it to give up territory to Russia. The BBC's Joe Inwood is in Ukraine monitoring Russian troop movement.
They're continuing their advance, and they're trying to take a city called Severodonetsk, which is the last Ukrainian holdout in the furthest kind of east point.
The Ukrainian court today sentenced a 21-year-old Russian soldier to life in prison for killing an unarmed civilian. It is the first war crimes trial arising from Russia's invasion. Back here in the States, former Vice President Mike Pence campaigning in Georgia today for Republican Governor Brian Kemp ahead of tomorrow's GOP primary. He's endorsed Kemp, and that puts him at odds with his old boss, former President Trump, who's supporting the other guy, former Senator David Perdue. Still to come on the Noon Report for a Monday, Cuomo in church, Kane in court, and mass back on in Erie, PA.
Good afternoon. After a toasty and sometimes tumultuous weekend weather-wise, calmer and cooler conditions are now back. Forecast details are coming up. We'll see you in 10.
All right, see you then. Thanks, Kevin. News where you live next. Click it or ticket, folks. The National Seatbelt Compliance Campaign began today in earnest in New York. State police will be looking for violators of the law, and cops in New York can ticket you for not wearing a seatbelt, even if you're not committing any other traffic violation. Energy experts are bracing for $6 a gallon gasoline before the end of summer. AAA's Elizabeth Carry.
Well, unfortunately, we hoped that we wouldn't get to $5 a gallon, but we're getting up there.
New York suspends its gas tax on June 1st, which should help some with the pain at the pump.
We have these gas tax holidays that are starting to alleviate the pain at the pump, so hopefully something can be done so things don't go up any higher.
Carry says the speed at which these pump prices have soared in recent weeks is something that should concern all New Yorkers.
You think about a year ago, prices weren't even $3. They were just under $3 a gallon in the Buffalo area, so to be paying like nearly $2 more than a year ago, people will start to change their driving habits. And AAA research shows that if prices got to $5 a gallon, 75% of drivers said they would have to change their driving habits.
Nationwide, 39 million Americans plan to travel for Memorial Day. 35 million will do it by automobile. Former Pennsylvania Attorney General Kathleen Kane in court today. A judge in Montgomery County will decide whether she violated terms of her probation when she was charged with a DUI. Following a crash in Scranton back in March, the driver of the other vehicle told police she saw Kane spray herself with perfume right after the crash to try and hide the smell of alcohol. Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo surfaced in Western New York Sunday.
Will you welcome Governor Andrew Cuomo?
The disgraced Democrat spoke at Buffalo's True Bethel Baptist Church. It was his first visit to the region since resigning last August. Cuomo was there to talk about the Tops supermarket massacre.
Even in the dark times, God is good.
Cuomo expressed his sympathies to the predominantly black community that was rocked by the racially motivated shooting on May 14th. He called race-based shootings modern-day lynchings and revived one of his favorite topics, gun control.
In New York, we passed the best laws in the nation. Our problem now is guns cross borders. You need a federal law.
Elsewhere in the Queen City, the Buffalo Zoo helping those affected by the shooting. Our coverage continues with Family Life's Dee Haley.
The city of Buffalo continues to show it is the city of good neighbors. The Buffalo Zoo is donating a portion of its admission proceeds from the weekend to the Buffalo 514 survivors Cures Fund. The fund was established by TOPS and the National Compassion Fund to provide financial assistance to survivors of the deceased and people who were directly affected by May 14th's mass shooting at TOPS Market on Jefferson Avenue. Admission proceeds from Saturday and Sunday will be donated to the fund. The family of Roberta Drury, who was killed in the shooting, has asked people to donate to the zoo in Roberta's honor. Dee Haley, Family Life News.
Thank you, Dee. A familiar name in New York politics will be running in an unfamiliar congressional district this year. Family Life's Tracy Lynn has that story new at noon.
Republican Chris Jacobs, who represented New York's 27th congressional district, says he will now run for re-election in the newly created 23rd district. That new district includes most of Erie County, along with all of Chautauqua, Cattaraugus, Allegheny, Steuben, Chemung, and Schuyler counties. The congressional primaries are slated for August. Democrats have the edge on paper in 21 of the 26 districts, but that advantage in several races is slim based on the newly drawn congressional map. Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
Thanks, Tracy. Lots of moving parts in Pennsylvania politics. Family Life's Brandon Dixon has an election update from the editor's desk.
Yeah, Bob, let's start with the PA governor's race. Despite President Biden's sagging poll numbers, the Democratic nominee says he would welcome the commander-in-chief campaigning for him. Attorney General Josh Shapiro will now face State Senator Doug Mastriano, who has the backing of former President Trump in the general election. Meanwhile, in the U.S. Senate race, just 1,100 votes separate Dr. Mehmet Oz and Dave McCormick in the unresolved Republican primary. The election was last week, but we may not know the results until next month. Pennsylvania election officials could announce a statewide recount on Thursday. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
All right, Brandon, thank you kindly. Due to a rise in COVID cases, masks are a must again at all schools in Erie, Pennsylvania. Superintendent Brian Polito urging patience on the part of all.
We've really appreciated our parents and students and staff understanding as circumstances change. We have to change the protocol. Just want to thank them for their continued patience.
Faculty, staff, students, and visitors at all Erie public schools will have to wear a facial covering regardless of their vaccination status until further notice. Traditionally, the New York State Regents exams have been a make or break test for students. You either pass or you don't. Now the state is giving students who come close a chance to appeal. The Board of Regents says students who score between 50 to 64 on those tests can make an appeal for a passing grade. This is for students who take the exams this June through next August. The state says this is meant to help students who struggled academically during COVID. SUNY Binghamton wrapped up its 2022 graduation ceremonies this weekend, the first commencements without COVID restrictions since the pandemic began. BU President Harvey Stenger telling WBNG.
Parents and families are loving it. The students are having a great time. A lot of enthusiasm, a lot of emotion in the audience, too, because this group probably a year and a half ago didn't think they would have a graduation in person. So it's been great.
The university graduated some 4,000 students in 10 separate ceremonies over the course of 10 days. So why did the turtle cross the road anyway? Family Life's Mark Webster.
Well, because it's egg-laying season, of course, and that's no joke, according to New York State environmental officials, who are hoping drivers will give nesting turtles a break. That's B-R-A-K-E. This month and next, roads near rivers and marshy areas are most likely to see turtle traffic. The DEC asks you to be watchful, and if it's safe to do so, stop and move the hero and a half shell across the road by picking it up at the sides of its shell and moving it across in the direction it was pointed. Use extra caution, though, if it's a snapping turtle, since their longer necks can reach fingers on the midpoint of their shell. Grab the snappers closer to the rear of the shell, but never tug a turtle by the tail, since it can damage crucial tail bones. Mark Webster, Family Life News.
All right, good to know. Thank you, Mark. This is the Noon Report on Family Life, a Monday edition. Let's talk sports.
Good afternoon, I'm Randy Snavely. The Empire State strikes back. Mika Zibanejad and Chris Kreider scored early to put the Rangers up 2-0. And then Tyler Mott added an empty netter to seal the deal. The Rangers 3, Carolina 1. New York still trails the series 2-1. Other hockey action, Tampa Bay now has a commanding 3-0 lead over Florida after a 5-1 victory. Edmonton took the lead in their series with Calgary as the Oilers beat the Flames 4-1. The Oilers now up 2-1. To the NBA, Golden State now just one win away from the finals after they took down the Mavs 109-100 in Dallas. Steph Curry, surprise, surprise, he led the way with 31 points to give the Warriors a 3-0 series advantage. To baseball, you play two and only score one run, not a recipe for success. Yankees swept by the White Sox in the Bronx yesterday, 3-1, 5-0. Boston, Baltimore, Detroit, Minnesota, Houston, and the Angels, your other winners in the American League. Over in the National League, Albert Pujols went deep twice as the Cardinals showed no mercy to Pittsburgh, completing a 3-game sweep, 18-4. The Phillies scored 2 unearned runs in the 10th and beat the Dodgers 4-3. The Mets' Taiwan Walker spun 7 shutout innings in Colorado, no less. And the Mets beat the Rockies 2-0. Miami, Washington, Chicago, San Diego, and Cincinnati, your other winners. Justin Thomas beat Will Zalatoris in a 3-hole playoff to win the PGA Championship. And Ryan Blaney won $1 million for winning NASCAR's All-Star race in Texas. Denny Hamlin second, Austin Cindric third. That is a look at sports.
Thank you, Randy. Man, still to come on the Noon Report, managing monkeypox, food, flights, and scandal rocks the SBC.
Last Saturday, the country was left grappling with yet another reminder of human depravity. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Last Saturday, an 18-year-old gunman entered a supermarket in Buffalo, New York, killing 10 and injuring 3 others. The victims, who were predominantly black, included Haywood Patterson, a local church deacon, Pearl Young, a retired school teacher, and Aaron Salter, a retired police officer. Mass shootings are too tragically familiar in our world, but no less overwhelming. Friends and family in agony, communities left to pick up the pieces, collective rage over the brutal violence, a longing for justice, and a rush to explain why. For many news outlets, the narrative here is a cut-and-dry example of right-wing extremism. The shooter's manifesto pointed to an embrace of replacement theory, the idea that white Americans are being systematically edged out of society by minorities. That idea, claim Isaac Stanley Becker and Drew Harwell of the Washington Post, once relegated to the fringe, has gained currency on popular right-wing television programs and in the halls of Congress. The apocalyptic vision has accumulated followers during the coronavirus pandemic, which has deepened political polarization and accelerated the online flow of racist ideology. Well, the shooter's 180-page document indeed confirms that he was motivated by replacement ideology and an outright racism. And so, in a sort of guilt by association, blame was leveled at all Republicans, especially those who hold conservative views on immigration. Completely ignored was the shooter's description of his own ideals, which includes an outright rejection of conservatism as, quote, corporatism in disguise. Whoever your ideological boogeyman of today's discourse is, this person doesn't link up to him very easily. So how do we make sense of it? Well, human beings are certainly meaning-making creatures. The very fact that we have an instinctive need to know why bad things happen says something about the kind of creatures we are and the moral kind of universe we inhabit. In such a world, the politicized theories dominating our discourse are proving to be inadequate, especially when it comes to explaining violence on this level. Racism, while certainly not what it was a few decades ago, is far from extinct. In its most diabolical forms, entire groups of people are seen as the enemy, as is evident in the shooter's manifesto. And yet at the same time, the current analysis of nearly everything, including these incidents, is being dramatically hampered by what I'll call a critical theory mood. There is a predisposed commitment on both the right and the left to divide the world by tribes, people, groups, and political parties. And in doing so, to predetermine who's right and wrong, who's good and evil, if by nothing else but association. Compare this event with the Waukesha tragedy a few months ago. Based on these people groupings, clearly demonstrate that we have no clue how to truly distinguish between good and evil. Critical theory, in its formal form or as a cultural mood, is short-sighted and inadequate. The Christian vision of the cosmos, people, morality, and human history offers an adequate understanding of good and evil on every level, both societal and individual. As a young man, Tom Torrance was injured in a shootout with FBI agents and was sent to prison. If anyone deserved to die, it was certainly me, this former member of the Ku Klux Klan, once filled with racial hatred, wrote recently in Christianity Today. But God worked an incredible miracle, even in the midst of solitary confinement, leading him to repentance, even reconciliation with some of those he tried to kill. Only the gospel can do that. As we grieve, we pray for justice and for healing to the God who reigns over everything, even Buffalo, New York, last Saturday. In him, we have hope, we have understanding, we have a way forward. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint.
20 past the hour, Kevin Williams, weather next.
Here is your family life weather forecast. The call for this afternoon, partial sunshine, much cooler than normal, but pleasant. High temperatures, generally 60s. Normal highs are in the 70s. For tonight, partly cloudy with a slight chill. Low temperatures, 40s to near 50. Tomorrow and Wednesday, some sunshine, although a couple of showers could reach areas near Lake Erie late Wednesday. High temperatures tomorrow approaching 70, and in the low 70s then on Wednesday.
All right, we'll take it. Thank you, Kevin. This is the Noon Report on Family Life. I'm your host, Bob Price. Great to have you with us today. Lots going on this Monday, the 23rd of May, at a news conference in Tokyo today. President Biden vowed to defend Taiwan should communist China invade.
Are you willing to get involved militarily to defend Taiwan if it comes to that?
Yes.
You are.
That's the commitment we made.
This marks the third time in the past year that the president has promised to come to Taipei's military aid. Once again, the president's aides are clarifying those comments. Former Defense Secretary Mark Esper says when it comes to China,
I think they've always been looking seriously at taking over Taiwan, and I think they're studying the Russian successes and failures and trying to figure out how they could do better. Look, I regard China as our number one strategic adversary in this century, and we need to prepare for that. And I don't think we are doing so sufficiently now.
Mr. Biden in Tokyo, the final leg of his six-day Asian excursion. Now to the baby food crisis. 39 tons of infant formula arrived in Indianapolis over the weekend on an Air Force cargo plane. It's from a Nestle plant in Switzerland.
This shipment provides enough formula to take care of 9,000 babies and 18,000 toddlers for a week.
That is Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack. The initial emergency batch, however, is for babies only with allergies. Managing monkeypox, the mystery virus appears to be spreading. There's a confirmed case in Massachusetts and two suspected cases, one in New York, the other Florida.
This virus really does require close personal contact.
Dr. Anne Lemoyne is a professor of epidemiology at UCLA.
We're seeing cases happening in several countries at the same time. We've never seen that.
Nearly 100 cases being reported in a dozen countries worldwide. A new report today describes decades of abuse and cover-up at the Southern Baptist Convention.
The independent investigation concluded that members of the group's executive committee responded with resistance, stonewalling, and even outright hostility to almost two decades of sexual abuse allegations against clergy. According to the report, they kept a secret running list of accused Baptist ministers to avoid being sued, even as the committee publicly claimed it didn't have the authority to create such a list.
Every day is a struggle since I've come forward.
Hannah Kate Williams filed a lawsuit against the SBC alleging that she was physically abused by her own father, a pastor, for years. But when she sought help from the SBC leadership, she says nothing ever happened.
I was called a liar. I was called mentally deranged, an enemy of God.
Allegations of abuse go up to the very top, including a sexual assault claim against former SBC President Johnny Hunt, which he denied in a Facebook post Sunday night.
Nikki Batiste reporting 1.2 million students in this country have left public school since the pandemic began. Former Education Secretary Bill Bennett.
It's been a boon for homeschooling. It's been a boon for private schools, Catholic schools, and other schools.
Look, I want public schools to shape up.
Bennett says learning loss caused by COVID is the greatest threat facing our schools today. He believes this will be an issue for voters this fall.
Education now is an issue. Democrats don't own the issue, shouldn't own the issue. We'll see how much attention it gets. I hope it gets more attention, because what happens in schools now determines what happens in the nation later.
Student test scores have dropped precipitously the past couple of years. Compared to the rest of the world, the U.S. ranks far behind in math, reading, and science scores. It's 25 past the hour. This is the Noon Report. And welcome back to another edition of Issues in Education. Mondays during the Noon Report, we spotlight the issues impacting our public schools all across New York and Pennsylvania with the good Dr. Ralph Kerr at the Teaching and Learning Institute in Houghton, New York, where the temperature topped in the 90s over the weekend. Ralph, welcome to summer, sir.
Yeah, well, thank you. I'm glad it's here.
That shouldn't be too much of a distraction for the kids at school, I'm sure, that nice weather.
Right, yeah.
As we head down the home stretch. But we want to start, you know, it's been almost a week now since the big school budget, school board vote in New York. Your thoughts on how those races went now that the dust has sort of settled there?
Well, I have a bunch of observations. One is that 99% of the budgets passed in the state.
Yeah.
Also, in 675 districts, there were school board elections. And interestingly enough, where we have charted before, that in over 50% of the districts, there were the same number of candidates as there were openings. That was not the case this year, although we don't have the final numbers. There was a huge increase in the number of candidates in many, many districts. And some observations about that, the influence of the teachers union was very much the case. You could just see that in the elections. And I tell you, I was really disappointed in the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle, where they had a headline that said parental involvement candidates were defeated. I don't think that's true at all. I think there's a real movement to get people who care about parental involvement involved. And I just encourage anybody that did run this year and didn't make it, give it another try. Sometimes it takes more than one try to be successful.
That's true. And again, you have a wonderful website. And if you are thinking about doing something like that, you have steps to help people through that process. I mean, we'll give that website at the end, Ralph. But just a quick couple other issues. There's an honors program that was recently canceled in Barrington, Rhode Island, in the name of education equity. Are you concerned, Ralph, that the removal of these advanced courses will cultivate mediocrity in our schools?
I really am concerned about that. You know, there's been an ongoing movement now for several years that everybody deserves a trophy. The whole thrust of this, I don't understand educational equity. And, you know, to cut out an honors program, this has been happening all over the country. Because they want to eliminate distinctions, they're just cutting those programs. And I think it's a tragedy.
And then in Florida, the governor, Ron DeSantis, who is the name that's in the news a lot, he signed a law recently that will require schools beginning this fall to teach about the dangers of communism. You know, we hear terms like democratic socialism, even in this country. DeSantis also wants schools to teach about the victims of this repressive form of government. Good idea, in your opinion, or is this indoctrination?
Well, it may be indoctrination, but in my opinion, it's the right kind of indoctrination. I've had enough of democratic socialism, and it's not only at our shore. It's in our country, and we need to do what we can to begin to make people aware of that, with the ideas of the dangers of communism, and recognize the plight of people who've been exposed to communism.
Finally, we'll go to Missouri, where the Missouri School Boards Association has now approved a policy in nearly 70 school districts. Teachers can hide their private conversations with students from those students' parents. This would also apply to counselors. They do not have to disclose the content of those conversations. Is this dangerous in your opinion?
It really is. is a dangerous thing to do. I mean, there are times, obviously, when students confide in teachers and counselors, but to purposefully hide that material from parents, I think, again, is just a tragedy of the way we're headed. Mm. This happened a few years ago in colleges where parents pay the bill, but the colleges can't release the grades to their parents. And again, I think this and many other things are just a slippery slope to places where we don't want to be.
Yeah, and you wonder why the parents are in such an uproar when you see stories like that to say, hey, don't play in our sandbox, moms and dads. We'll keep an eye on that story for sure. If you want more information on these topics that we've discussed today, or perhaps maybe, hey, I may run for school board next year, you got some time to think it over. And Ralph, you got a wonderful website where folks can go and learn more. What is that, if you would?
Thank you. We do, Bob. It's just simply whyrun.org, whyrun.org.
All right. Thank you, Ralph. The name of the program, Issues in Education. It comes your way Mondays during the Noon Report or online anytime, familylife.org.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. A cold front that sparked showers and thunderstorms yesterday and a precipitous drop in the temperatures long gone. And in its wake, calmer and cooler conditions are ahead, at least for now. The call for this afternoon, partial sunshine, much cooler than normal, but pleasant. High temperatures, generally 60s. Normal highs are in the 70s. For tonight, partly cloudy with a slight chill. Low temperatures, 40s to near 50. Tomorrow and Wednesday, some sunshine, although a couple of showers could reach areas near Lake Erie late Wednesday. High temperatures tomorrow approaching 70 and in the low 70s then on Wednesday.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. And finally at noon, it is Random Acts of Kindness Day in Pennsylvania, also known as 143 Day. This is the fourth year of 143 Day, which was created in honor of Pennsylvania's native son, the late Fred Rogers, who used 143 as a way of saying, I love you, on his television show, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
The 143 way to say I love you. There's the 143 way to say I care.
Rogers referencing the number of letters in each word, 143, I love you. You see how it goes. May 23rd also happens to be the 143rd day of the year. So that's why we celebrate today. In Pennsylvania, the Wolf Administration's actually started a kindness generator website, which you can access at pa.gov/143day. And that website includes a kindness tracker that tallies all the good deeds and kind gestures that Pennsylvanians do today. 143 Day. Thank you, Mr. Rogers. The legacy lives on. That's the world we live in. Monday, the 23rd of May. I'm Bob Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.